Welcome to You Are an IP Company podcast with Carrie Oberbrunner and Katie Rubino. Our passion is helping entrepreneurs publish, protect, and promote their intellectual property. This podcast is sponsored by Instant IP and Caldwell. And now, get ready for You Are an IP Company.
Folks, we are bringing to you What's Hot in IP. This is Katie Rubino and Carrie Oberbrunner. And Katie, we were just talking pre-show. It seems like once your eyes are open IP, you see it everywhere. And today we're talking about everything from Bucky's gas station to, I saw an article, Caldwell actually wrote it a few months ago because one of my students brought it up, but it's actually Hailey Bieber, Justin Bieber's wife, and this whole company she created with cosmetics. We'll talk about that. But then there's also OpenAI. So maybe we hit these one at a time and I'll set it up, Katie. Basically, Hailey came out in 2022 with this certain type of, I think it was cosmetic, and she basically used somebody else's trademark.
Okay.
And so what they did initially is the small company, essentially tried suing her because she's big time. And what the courts decided was to freeze it. And the whole interesting thing, I'm going to show this on the screen because I invite my students to come in the room with different IP stories. Okay. And one of the students talked about this and then I Googled it and I'm like, oh my gosh, Caldwell wrote about it.
That's so funny.
Isn't that funny? So the New York-based clothing, I guess it's pronounced Rode. So Rode filed a 47-page lawsuit against Bieber. Okay, so they had filed, they again, all things are based on timing. So 2014, they had that trademark. Anyway, long story short, they settled. And so this is what's interesting. They settled the lawsuit without the exact terms being known. Mm-hmm. And so I know you haven't taken a deep dive on this, but I do have a question. And the question is this normal that like maybe a smaller company sues a celebrity, the celebrity's like, hey, let's settle this. And then they walk away with a nice check.
Yeah, I think this is a common way to resolve things because from the celebrity's point of view, they don't want this going to trial and dragging out and tarnishing their name and making it look like a David and Goliath story, right? So if they can resolve it before then, and what's nice too about something like this where you can resolve it ahead of time too is that then the settlement can remain confidential, so nobody will never know the terms, but it's kind of a win-win for everybody involved because the smaller company, you know, gets royalties for using their name, and then the celebrity gets to kind of put it to rest and be able to kind of move on from it too, and without it really dragging out in the court system.
That's interesting. So on that point, let's talk about that for a second because she could have rebranded, you know. I mean, I'm not Hailey Bieber or anything, but I just said I don't want to pay royalties for the rest of my life, so I'm just going to rebrand. She could have rebranded, but you say with a celebrity, there's almost some, I don't know, is it like pride where she's better just to settle than to say, well, this David, you know, has it 2014. I'm going to rebrand. I mean, rebranding might cost her more money.
Yes.
Since she had it out for 2 years.
Right. Because see, the thing is too with the, you know, if like her where she already had these goods out there, she was selling them. If you do a total rebrand, you have to pull all those goods out and then you have to manufacture new sets of goods with the new name on it. And there's a big delay there while you get that production in order, right?
And then brand confusion.
Brand confusion, time to then register all those marks for the new branding. So that could be a very big uphill lift. Whereas you, Carrie, your situation was a little bit different because you weren't publicly launched yet, yes. Right? You had the timing for yours in some ways was almost better because
yes.
You didn't have that product out there. And so there was more time to get ahead of it.
Yes.
So you kind of, that option made more sense for you based on your set of circumstances here.
Well, I like that. So I got to give a shout out to our student because it's really cool. They're coming in the room. I don't know if I told you this, Katie, but I'm teaching at Cedarville University, the first ever IP class. I had to pretty much say, look, I'm doing this just because I want. Is this possible? Do I have permission? And they let me do it. But I give the students the role, besides using Instant IP, and then they protect some of their own IP. They have to, one student each class period comes in with, here's a company I love, and wow, I didn't even know they had IP, but here's their IP.
So that's kind of cool. Yeah. Kind of cool.
And this young lady named Emma, her last name is, I want to pronounce it right, but it's Bacali. And she's the one who brought this in. So big shout out to her. But let's go into another one. Another one is that Bucky's. I've never been there, but I've heard so much about it. It sounds like there's super fans everywhere for Bucky's. Have you ever been there?
No, I've never been there.
But you know what I'm talking about.
Yes. I think it's big in the South, isn't it?
Oh my gosh. This is Texas.
Okay. That's what
this
I thought.
Texas. So the headline is Bucky's suing Texas gas station, says logo is too similar to the iconic beaver. And so here's the copycat, Super Fuels with a dog.
Yeah.
Okay. But Bucky's, of course, is that beaver. And so I don't know. What do you think? Is it too similar? Are they going to win? What do you all
yeah.
think?
Yeah. So the standard here is if it's confusingly similar, where consumers would be confused to
yeah.
think that somehow these two companies are one and the same.
Yeah.
And here you can kind of see that because they do look similar.
Yeah.
Right. There's similar characteristics in the appearance of both of them that if you were a consumer, you might get
yeah.
confused. Now, this is also, this kind of highlights too the importance of why, from just a branding strategy, protecting not only your name but your logo is important, because if you don't, you can kind of become a sitting duck to somebody else who comes along and uses a similar looking logo, who then can try to cancel your mark.
It's almost like interpretation.
Yeah.
'Cause I mean, I do see, like, if I was Bucky's, I would say, oh yeah, look, we've spent millions of dollars in promotion and signage and billboards and years of reputation and logos. I mean, you get it from their perspective. But then if you're the other guy, you're like, come on, man, it's a dog with a cape on and yours is a beaver with a hat on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. But it's, you know, in this case, the court is going to use a certain set of standards, criteria to figure out, is it similar? They'll look at, you know, the images, the geographical reach. So there's a bunch of factors they'll use to kind of make a determination so that it's not quite so subjective, right?
Yeah.
You want to kind of use some objective.
They'll say like cartoon. And then I think they both were in a circle.
Right, right.
So they'll
and
start.
Okay. They'll look at, too, the goods that are being offered by both of them, too.
Wow.
You know, services. So if there's overlap there. And they'll look at, you know, when the use first started. And that's why, too, this is also important of why companies have to be kind of on the lookout.
Yeah.
and set alerts to know when marks are being used or put out there that are similar to theirs, because you want, you know, when something like this pops up, you don't want to let it go on for too long before you take action. You want to be kind of proactive for earlier, so you can really work it out before it becomes too big of an issue here.
That's cool. So one more on trademark, then we'll get into OpenAI and DeepSeek. So I found this lady the other day who, I guess she's called the trademark doctor. You ever see this lady on YouTube?
No.
Okay. I think she must be, it's funny. I was telling my class, because, you know, I'm sure I'm in an algorithm now where, because I'm looking at IP everywhere, you know, they're sending me things. But I'm going to show you this lady's page. She calls herself the trademark doctor, which I think is interesting that she trademarked that name. So
that's cute.
Yeah. So the trademark doctor, trademark, you know what I'm saying? Like, but here she is speaking, and she's speaking for 11 minutes or so, 10 minutes. And I watched this thing and I played it for the class. And you got, again, we're tight, Katie, you and me, so you know I can mess with you a little bit. But I watched this, and at the end of the day, I was more confused.
Okay.
What I mean by that is, like, I even know more than the average person, I'd say, about IP. But what she was doing was giving so many exceptions. You know, she's like, in other words, I watched that video and I basically saw it could be this, or it could be that, or it could be that, or this variance or this interpretation. And is that true? Meaning it's not just cut and dry. I filed the trademark, therefore I had it first. You know, she was kind of weaving in, and I know it's unfair to ask you because you didn't watch it yet, but she was kind of weaving in, yes, that's important, but it's also important when the goods were first being used. You know, and she's kind of bringing up these variants. Yeah. What do you think? Do you think it is cut and dried, or do you think there are?
Unfortunately, with all things in the law, it's never cut and dry. So, you know, I'd love to say that, but it's not. And that's why, you know, when you something like, and I'm not saying either that, you know, there are ways you can obviously resolve some of these situations.
That's true.
But in other instances, you know, it makes sense before you do anything to at least talk to a lawyer to understand the scope of what you're dealing with, because there are all these exceptions and there's common law rights and usage rights. So you don't want to just kind of go out heavy hitting without having any legal analysis done, because you could really put a lot of, you know, you could really kind of flare up the situation more.
See, that's interesting.
Yeah.
She kind of mentioned that was my biggest takeaway. She's like, sometimes my clients think they're being infringed on and then go after the other person. And when in reality, they're bringing the spotlight on them.
Yes.
And they haven't done their due diligence. And now the situation becomes worse.
Right.
So kind of what you're saying, you go to the lawyer first. They see your situation and are there vulnerabilities, then you can decide if you want to write a cease and desist.
That's right. Exactly. Because you really should get in, you know, if you're going to go for trademark infringement, you want to know kind of how airtight your claim is, right? And that's something without a legal opinion, you can't really figure that out on your own.
Interesting. Okay. So that's my takeaways. And here's what I've been telling people who come to me and ask for my perspective. I pretty much say this, Katie, I say all IP needs to be defended. Like that's first out of the gate, what I say. And what I mean by that is, just because I have a patent, just because I have a trademark, just because I have copyrights or even smart contracts, doesn't mean the whole world bows down and says, oh, we're not going to trespass.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? And so I say that what we're doing is we're stacking the case. We're building the case. Maybe that's a better word. We're building the case for why your IP is protected. And some of those pieces that we can build in the case are patents, trademarks, copyrights, smart contracts, and first use. And I mean, that's kind of what you're saying is like stack the deck.
Right. Right. And, you know, the thing is too, there can be a lot of trespassing that's unknown, right? Because of just pure unawareness.
Yes.
If you're running a business, right, you can't, there's so many patents that exist.
Right.
In the world, and I would never suggest someone go figure out what patents they're infringing, because that's just going to create greater liability. So there's always these blind spots.
Yeah.
But if you do find people who are infringing, you have to kind of think through a strategy of what makes the most sense of how to approach it, right? Because the thing is too, if it's, you know, the approach might need to be friendly because it's somebody you're collaborating with.
Yeah. And
it's just unawareness of why they did something that infringed, versus someone who maliciously stole your IP, exploiting it for their own gain. Then that's going to be a different approach, but you kind of have to tailor the approach to what really makes sense for each set of circumstances.
It's like when the Netherlands company came after me because they said I willfully infringed.
Mm-hmm.
But again, the USPTO didn't know it. I didn't know it. You didn't know it. Nobody knew it. And they tried to put in that letter, you are trying to capitalize on our longstanding reputation and our, you know, domination in the market. I mean, those might not have been the exact words, but something like that. And you and I and Nick, we all just looked at each other like, what are they, you know, like, what are they even talking about? Nobody even knows about them. So, but that's a point where like maybe someone, I'm not saying they're egocentric, but maybe they think that everyone in the world knows about them. But like your point was, we didn't know anything.
Right. When the thing is too, sometimes, especially if it's a letter coming from a large corporation, a lot of times it's written in a way to scare you, right?
Yeah.
They want to try and have you act on fear.
Yeah.
And again, that's why too, you know, I always tell people, if you get a letter like that, talk to an attorney, because it might seem scary, but there's some path forward here that's going to make sense. And, you know, a lot of it is just strategy on their end to try and, you know, make you stop what you're doing immediately.
And the good news is they were flexible with, at first they're like, everything's got to be pulled down in 2 weeks, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
We went back and said, look, we need to switch the whole brand. It's going to take, you know, 90 days and, you know, we're on it. Now the funny thing is we did rebrand. We trademarked everything immediately with 8 classes for the new name. We did a deep dive. So we did all that good strategy. And I will tell you that then they came back and said, hey, we found one reference on a random website here. So like, this company, whoever they hired, man, they were on it because, you know, we did our work and then they scraped the internet. So then we changed it again and they were cool with it. But I'm just saying, like, there's all different levels, it sounds like, of monitoring that you can do and paranoia.
Yeah.
Well, right.
Right. And, you know, just because to someone you're doing monitoring doesn't mean you have to act on that right away. So just keep that in mind too. It's knowledge is power here. And, you know, the ball is in your court as to when you want to take action and how you want that action to look like based on what you want to, how you want that resolved too.
I love that. Let's talk next time about, so I'm going to do two things. We're going to tip our hat to OpenAI in just a second, but then for the sake of time, I think an upcoming episode, we should really talk about background and foreground IP, especially with collaborations.
Yes.
Yeah, because I feel like you're in free zone. I'm in free zone with Strategic Coach. You and I are speaking soon, actually next week, about collaborations. And I feel like that is a thing that's probably going to come up next Tuesday, is I'm bringing this IP to the collaboration. So-and-so is bringing this IP. Who owns what prior? Who owns what after? I think that probably is going to be a good topic next Tuesday.
I agree. Because this is a topic too that touches so many areas too. And even at the university too.
Oh yeah.
Your students, this is a big issue too, if they're making stuff at the university and university ownership and rights. So this is something we definitely should talk about because it is so prevalent.
Yeah. Background and foreground IP. That's something I never heard prior to the book we wrote. I do want to tip our hat to this. I'm sure things will change in hours and days, but at least right now, OpenAI, valued at $157 billion, is facing multiple copyright infringement lawsuits. They're saying China's DeepSeek may have used its data to train the rival AI without permission. And then I had shared with you this little picture I had took last night where it's floating around on the internet, but it's basically saying that, look, OpenAI, you don't have a case because, you know, you've built your model on other people's IP. So how can you say DeepSeek is liable? So this is very interesting, Katie, this whole AI IP. I mean, are you seeing this like every day, the world rolling out, you know?
Oh, yeah, this is very prevalent, especially with open source, because when it is open source, you put it out there. And, you know, that's why, too, it's always kind of a balancing act if you're using open source to, you know, that's fine to use it, but also to think about where are there also protectable areas of business, too, because there's always some proprietary edge to what you're doing. And if you don't have the trouble here is if you don't have anything protected, then your causes of action to go after someone who steals your stuff, it's very limited and it's very tricky. So that's why you always want to kind of think about your IP and what you might be able to protect there.
Ooh, that's good. I think it's a wild road. I mean, you've been in the industry a lot longer than me, but I feel like this is a very exciting time in the world of IP.
It's very exciting. And it's just the tip of the iceberg here.
Yeah. Cool. Well, listen, folks, we're thrilled to be here with you. And I'm watching headlines every day about IP because it's so relevant and we're here to help. Remember, if you need help with traditional IP protection, trademark, copyright, patents, all kinds of things, Caldwell is fantastic. And then give Instant IP a look in terms of that first fast layer. And we're going to be launching a founder circle for certification in the near future. And so we're only going to be picking a very small amount of people to go through the first certification by request because people have been asking for it. So Katie, it's exciting. I think 2025 is going to be a big year for both of us in this space.
Yes, huge. Lots to look forward to.
All right, everybody. Have a great day. We'll see you.
Thank you for listening to You Are an IP Company podcast with Carrie Oberbrunner and Katie Rubino. Visit instantip.today and caldwelllaw.com for more help on your IP journey. Remember, your ideas are valuable. Protect them today.